Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order, 14th of March, 2024. Time's 4 minutes after 9 a.m. Senator Hoffman is excused for the day. Chairman Hoffman, Chairman Olson's here, Senator Bishop, Senator Merrick, Senator Keel, Senator Wilson, Stedman, and myself. We have two items on the agenda today. We have the spring revenue forecast and the governor's budget amendments, and I recognize the spring forecast is of concern and very of high interest. But before we get to that, we have to have another conversation, and I'd like Mrs. Rose Foley to come up here, please, along with Pete Eklund. Here and here. No. So it's my distinct honor and pleasure today to call out Mrs. Rose Foley. She showed up here 20 years ago as a young gal running around the committee room, learning the game, totally bewildered of all the paperwork and complexities of the Finance Committee. She ran away for about 5 years and got married and had babies and came back. And she's been working very hard ever since. So today it's my honor and privilege to issue her a 15-year pin and all the assistance and help at the Finance Committee, which is now not mysterious at all for her. And I'd just like to thank her for her service. Just to show you how small the world in Alaska is, many years ago, there was a baseball tournament in Ketchikan. There was two young lads, 11 and 12, playing, that happened to be sitting at the table today, Bishop and Stedman, that were playing baseball in Ketchikan against each other. There was a little boy in diapers, squalling, running around the house, wishing and hoping he can play baseball. And as time went on, he grew into a little league player, and along with Randy Guerrero, who's sitting in the audience, played baseball. Now, the two older guys were kicked out because we got too old, and time clicked on. And then, at some point, early in the work career, he wandered off to Juneau, to work for Representative Williams. And has been working away, doing multiple budgets over the years. And time has clicked on for 30 years. So he's got a little bit of experience in the budget. So it's my distinct pleasure to give and present to Mr. Peter Eklund a 30-year certificate for work, most of which was in the finance committees in the House and the Senate. And for those watching at home, when I was first chairman over almost 20 years ago, he was down the hall. He was the experienced budget guy down the hall that the inexperienced chairman had to wrestle and spend all the money and corner all the money before the experienced guy got it, and he could always find extra pennies under the couch pillows, no matter how hard we worked over here in the Senate. He was working for the House. And that went on for 6 years. So then as time went on, I figured, well, heck, he might as well come down here instead of us wrestling each other for the pennies. He can work for the Senate. So he's been down here for quite a few years now working for the Senate. I don't know how many, 8 years. So I'd like to read this letter. It's short. It says, Dear Mr. Eklund, thank you for over 30 years of faithful service to the state of Alaska. Your service has made a lasting impact on the state. Your contributions have benefited countless Alaskans. As a state employee, your hard work every day helps build an effective and responsive workplace for all Alaskans. I am deeply grateful for your service and dedication to work for Alaskans with integrity. Thank you for your contributions, and I wish you countless success. Sincerely, Mike Dunleavy, Governor. Now, what is written in invisible ink It says, "Dear Pete, it'd be nice to me when you do your budget language." With that, I'd like to just congratulate Pete. He said he could retire, but I don't think so. So with that, I think we'll go ahead and start our serious part of the committee today. We're going to have the spring revenue forecast, which is good news for everybody. With that, I'd like to ask the commissioner to come forward along with Dan Stickle, chief economist, I guess, who's going to do the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Adam Crum, Commissioner for the Department of Revenue. I appreciate the committee having us here today to go over the spring 2024 forecast. As we go over these numbers, we're going to give lead to Chief Economist for the state, Dan Stickle, to go over this because we know that a lot of questions and we've got a good agenda today, sir.
Okay. Mr. Stickle.
Excellent. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Dan Stickle, Chief Economist with the Department of Revenue. I'm bringing a little bit of good news. There's a little bit more money, just a little bit, than there was in the fall forecast for y'all. So thank you for the opportunity to come here and present the department's spring 2024 revenue forecast. The presentation is an updated version of the presentation that we presented in the fall forecast. Slide 2 is an agenda for the presentation. Again, we'll start with some background and key assumptions, work through the revenue forecast, and then the latter third of the presentation is details on the oil and gas assumptions in particular. So slide 4, a little bit of background. We released the forecast yesterday on March 13th. It's an update to the larger publication of the Fall Revenue Sources book that has detailed information and narrative on all the state's taxes and revenue sources. The spring forecast, the fall forecast, and decades worth of historical forecasts are all available on our website at tax.alaska.gov. So in terms of key assumptions on slide 5, we'd like to reiterate any particular revenue forecast we put out is one deterministic point estimate within a range of possible scenarios. The situation has been fairly stable since we issued the fall revenue forecast. That's not always the case, and it's certainly not a certainty that we'll have continued stability going forward. But in terms of the key assumptions for investments, we are forecasting a 7.4% annualized rate of return for the remainder of fiscal year 2024. We also incorporated actual investment performance through the end of January for the different investment projections. And then the assumption for fiscal year 2025 and beyond is 7.6% annual return. And those annual return numbers are for the permanent fund in particular. The federal forecast was updated to incorporate all known federal funding as of March 1st of this year, provided by Office of Management and Budget. The petroleum revenue forecast is based on an oil price of $84.08 average per barrel for fiscal year 2024, and then $78 per barrel for fiscal year 2025. And those oil price forecasts throughout the 10-year time horizon of the revenue forecast, those have all been increased by between $1 and $3 per barrel. So just slight increases from what we were projecting in the fall. In terms of non-petroleum revenues, the assumption there is for continued economic growth, looking at continued strong tourism with over 1.6 million passengers per year coming in on cruise ships. Fisheries industry, obviously 2023 was very, very challenging. We've continued to incorporate our relatively naive assumption of a three-year recovery time frame for the fisheries industry. And then for mining, we incorporate updated projections from futures markets. Slide six is our visual depiction of total state revenue for fiscal year 2023. This is the same slide, since it's actual for fiscal year 2023, that we presented in the fall. But again, with no statewide sales or personal income tax, Alaska's revenue is largely a three-legged stool, with federal revenue, investment revenue, and petroleum revenue dominating the revenue picture. And then for fiscal year 2023, everything else collectively contributed about 7.4% of total state revenue. Slide seven is the same information for our fiscal year 2024 forecast. Again, federal investment and petroleum constituting the majority of the state revenue outlook. We're projecting a total of $15.5 billion of total state revenue for 2024, which would be even with 2023. And then aside from those big three, all other sources contributing a little over 8% of total revenue in our fiscal year 2024 forecast. So then moving into the numbers, on slide nine, we just start with hitting some of the highlights on the unrestricted revenue forecast and the outlook for fiscal year 24 and 25. Our oil price forecast has been increased by $1.69 per barrel for fiscal year 2024 and by $2 per barrel for fiscal year 2025. The permanent fund transfer, there's no change to that projection due to the backward-looking mechanism of calculating that transfer. The amounts for fiscal 24 and 25 were known with certainty when the fall forecast was created, and so there's no change to those now, which gives some stability to the budgeting process. Total unrestricted revenue, we increased that forecast by $58 million for fiscal 24 and by $140 million for fiscal year 2025, and the increased oil price forecast is the primary driver of those. For fiscal year 2025, the increased production forecast also supported the increased revenue forecast a little bit. Slide 10 steps back and looks at total state revenue. So this is the pictures that we showed earlier, putting numbers to those pictures. And we show total state revenue for fiscal 23, as well as the projections for fiscal 24 and 25. And again, for the folks watching at home, there are four categories of revenue that we report for the revenue forecast and for budgeting purposes. Unrestricted general fund revenues are those revenues available to the legislature for general appropriations without any strings on the revenue and how those must be appropriated. Those are typically the focus of most of the budget discussions. The next category is designated general fund revenues. So these are revenues that are technically available for appropriation, but have some customary restriction around how they're used. For instance, numerous excise taxes, for example, are dedicated to certain purposes like treatment and prevention of abuse. And then the other restricted revenues, these are revenues that are truly restricted in how they must be used. So there is no discretion over how those revenues are used. An example is a share of royalty revenue is dedicated to the permanent fund in the Constitution. And then finally, federal receipts have different stipulations from the federal government as to how those can be used. So total state revenue, $15.5 billion in fiscal year 23, and then we're forecasting very similar total state revenue for fiscal 24 and 25. So in terms of total revenue, a very stable revenue situation. And then the remainder of the forecast will really focus in on this unrestricted general fund revenue portion, since that's where the most of the discretion in spending that money comes. And that's what we show on slide 11, is just a summary of those unrestricted pieces. And then what I'll do in the next couple slides is walk through each of these three pieces in turn. So slide 12 shows the detail on the unrestricted investment revenue forecast. The largest portion of this is the percent of market value transfer from the permanent fund to the general fund. So we show that amount of the transfer as unrestricted general fund revenue, and then any earnings above and beyond that transfer are shown as restricted revenue in the forecast. So the permanent fund transfer is expected to contribute $3.5 billion in fiscal 2024 and $3.6 billion in fiscal year 2025. And those numbers are known with certainty. The additional unrestricted general fund revenue on investments is a little over $100 million in fiscal 24 and about $78 million in fiscal year 2025. And these represent primarily earnings on the state general fund. The fiscal 24 number is a little higher than what we showed in the fall due to better performance than expected on cash balances so far in fiscal 24. So that's some good news. And then slide 13 shows what we're expecting for this percent of market value transfer for the remainder of the forecast period. Important to note, these are in nominal terms. Start with a $77 billion permanent fund value at the end of January, and assume that we incorporated actual returns through the end of January. Assume a 7.4% annualized return for the remainder of fiscal 24, and then a long-term total return of 7.6%. And with the 5% backward-looking percent of market value transfer, the fund actually will continue to grow in real terms after the transfer under the spring forecast. Slide 14 reviews the unrestricted petroleum revenues. So again, there's four sources of petroleum revenue. The state's severance tax on oil and gas is the production tax in the top line there. We are expecting that some but not all of the companies will be paying above the minimum tax floor. So that tax consists of a net profits-based tax with a gross value minimum tax floor. With the declining oil prices that we're forecasting combined with higher lease expenditures, we are expecting production tax revenues to decrease for the next 2 years in the revenue forecast. The corporate income tax is levied on some but not all corporations doing business in the state, and we're expecting $225 million from the petroleum share of that in fiscal 24 and $245 million for fiscal 2025. The property tax, we levy a property tax on all oil and gas equipment in the state of Alaska. That property tax goes to the state, but an even larger share goes to local municipalities. The state share shown here is expected to generate $133 million in each of the forecast years. And then finally, oil and gas royalties, which are split between the general fund and a significant share goes to the permanent fund, as well as a smaller share to the school fund. But the state share of those royalties is expected to be about $1.1 billion per year in the two forecast years. So all in all, we're looking at $3.1 billion of unrestricted petroleum revenue in fiscal 23, $2.4 billion in fiscal 24, and $2.2 billion in fiscal 25. And then on slide 15, looking at the non-petroleum revenues, the largest share of this is taxes. And then the largest tax in turn is the corporate income tax, which for non-petroleum corporations is forecasted $135 million for fiscal 24 and $160 million for fiscal 25. We are projecting a recovery in those corporate income tax revenues. In particular, the tourism sector, we're expecting to start experiencing more profitability now that they've recovered from the COVID recession and start contributing to the corporate income tax going forward. Other significant taxes include mining license tax, insurance premium taxes, fishing taxes, and excise taxes. And we included the large passenger vessel gambling tax on this list as well. That's a tax on the gambling activity on cruise ships. And with the increased number of passengers, we are expecting revenue from that particular tax to increase to about $25 million per year. And then the other non-petroleum revenue sources are a variety of miscellaneous charges. These include licenses and permits, charge for state services, fines, rents and royalties, and things like dividends from state corporations to the state. And so the total of those unrestricted non-petroleum revenues, $461 million in fiscal year 2024 and $517 million in fiscal year 2025. And then for the back half of the presentation, we'll walk through some of the assumptions around the petroleum revenue forecast in particular. So slide 17 shows our oil price forecast throughout the 10-year time horizon. And as you can see, the forecast has been increased across the board by between $1 and $3 per barrel in any given year. For our oil price forecast, we look at the futures market and use the futures market for Brent crude to derive our oil price for as long as possible, so that for this forecast, we used futures market prices through 2031 and then apply an inflation adjustment thereafter. The oil price forecast was based on the first five trading days of March, so we finalized that price forecast on March 7th and released the forecast 6 days later, so it was a busy weekend for my team crunching the numbers last weekend. And slide 18 puts this into perspective of how our oil price forecast compares to some other sources of oil price expectations. We can see that the futures market has not moved much since we produced the forecast, so we're pretty much in line with the futures market, generally in line with analysts, although they're for the 26-27, there are a little bit of bullishness among some of the analysts. And then we compare also to the short-term energy outlook from the Energy Information Agency that was released on Tuesday of this week. And they're actually expecting slightly higher prices over the near term due to an expectation of some tightened supply out of OPEC and reduced inventories. But in general, this kind of price range of the $70 to $80 per barrel range is consistent with what other folks are saying. And then for the question of how does that price translate into revenue, obviously, it's very unlikely that prices will come in exactly where we forecast. So slide 19 gives a sensitivity, and we have a much more expanded version of this that we've made available to anyone who's interested, but shows how unrestricted revenue for fiscal year 2025 would vary with a change in oil price. And around our oil price forecast of $78 per barrel, each dollar increase or decrease of price equates to about a $45 to $50 million change to unrestricted general fund revenue. Slide 20 looks at the oil production forecast. In the spring forecast, we also show a high and low case provided by the Department of Natural Resources. And if there's any nuanced questions on production forecasts, again, we would defer those to Department of Natural resources. But in general, we are expecting fairly stable oil production, a little bit under 500,000 barrels per day on average through fiscal year 2026. And then beginning with fiscal year 2027, an increasing trend to oil production as new fields come online. Pikka and Willow are highlighting these. There's very active activity going on this winter at both of those fields. We saw the final investment decision from Willow earlier, recently as well. So those two fields, as well as other new developments, expected to lead to increasing production later in the revenue forecast. And slide 21 is just a comparison of that production forecast to what we had projected in the fall. Generally, I would characterize this as not a whole lot of change. Department of Natural Resources, they've made some technical adjustments looking at well productivity and well timing for the existing fields. And then we've also, once you get later on in the forecast period with the final investment decision coming out of Willow, have increased the confidence in that development, contributing to the production forecast. Slide 22 looks at allowable lease expenditures for the North Slope. So we show how these lease expenditures have changed over the last several years, as well as our forecast for the next 10 years. These are important for two reasons. First of all, an important barometer of industry activity in Alaska. With the new fields coming online and the large companies are making very large investments, and we are seeing those in the tax reporting. So that spending is happening, and lots of jobs up on the slope right now as well, at Pikka and Willow in particular. But along with that, the lease expenditures are allowed as a deduction in the production tax calculation. So they do impact state revenue to an extent. To the extent that a company is paying above the minimum tax floor, then these lease expenditures would impact our state revenue. And we are expecting expenditures to jump quite a bit. So we're expecting over $4 billion of capital expenditures in the current fiscal year 2024, and then further increases in 25 and 26. And these represent the very large amounts of spending that are required to bring Pikka and Willow and other new developments online. In terms of operating expenditures, seeing some cost pressure there, and then as those new fields come online, the cost of operating those fields. So we're expecting an increasing trend for operating expenditures generally throughout the forecast. Slide 23 is a similar history and forecast for transportation costs. These are the costs of bringing oil from the North Slope to market. The largest two components are the tariff for the Trans-Alaska Pipeline and then the cost of marine transportation. We have seen marine transportation costs increase over the last several years. We're expecting those to stabilize for the remainder of the forecast period. And for the Trans-Alaska Pipeline tariff, we're actually expecting that tariff to start to decrease a little bit towards the end of the forecast period as new fields contribute to higher throughput. So we're forecasting fairly stable netback costs. We average was $9.61 per barrel for 2023. We're forecasting $10.59 per barrel for 2024, and netback costs of around $10 per barrel for the remainder of the forecast period. And slide 24 is our similar chart to what we showed in the fall. This is our chart on tax credits. And the good news is this might be the last time I have to show this chart, because the tax credits have been paid off. So we show there was a balance for eligible tax credits each year. Beginning with 2016, the legislature made legislature and governor collectively made appropriated less than the total amount required to purchase all the outstanding credits. And so we ended up with this blue bar for an ending balance of tax credits every year, beginning with 2016. That's been worked down. And with the 2024 appropriation, we have paid off all of those credits. So that's good news.
And that's your last slide, but I'd recommend that the commissioner doesn't dispose of the files on credits. I'm sure they're going to resurface of different magnitudes from time to time. So we probably want to go and re-review the history sometime in the future. So,
yes, sir.
We have any final questions before OMB comes up and gets the first bite of the additional revenue we just put on the table? Good. Thank you for coming in with your presentation today. I appreciate it. It's always nice to have good news here at the table. So thank you very much. And we're going to take a brief at ease while we set up for OMB. We're at ease. come back on the record. Thank you for giving us a little bit of time. We had to get the documents prepared and well, they were prepared, but get them handed out. With that, I'd like to ask the director of the OMB, Ms. Lacey Sanders, she can come forward, kind of walk through her presentation, and we'll probably look at some spreadsheets, and then when she gets the first bite of the new revenue, so we'll see if she leaves us anything when she gets done. Treat us kindly.
Thank you. Yeah. Chair Stedman, members of the Senate Finance Committee, for the record, my name is Lacey Sanders. I am the Office of Management and Budget Director for the Office of the Governor. Today I will be presenting an overview of the governor's amendments that were transmitted on Wednesday, March 13th. To start the presentation, we have provided an updated version of the 2024 and 2025 fiscal summary, incorporating both the amendments that were released as well as the updated spring revenue forecast that was just recently provided as well. The overall change for the FY 2025 operating amendments that were submitted on March 13th total $9 million and are incorporated into the second half of the fiscal summary. That breaks down to $1.2 million of unrestricted general funds, $1 million of designated general funds, and $6 million of other receipts. For capital, the amendments that were submitted total $18.2 million. Of that, $3.6 million is classified as unrestricted general funds, $9 million in other receipts, and $5.5 million for federal, for a total of $18.2 million. For fiscal year 2024 supplementals, the total change is a reduction of $18.7 million in unrestricted general funds, and the capital budget change totals $217.9 million. Of that, the largest portion is $206.5 million in federal receipts, with $11.4 million in unrestricted general funds. And I will walk through the following slides detailing what makes up all of those changes. Overall, after incorporating the increased revenue and the amendments into this slide, the FY 2024 projected surplus is $409.9 million. And in 2025, there is a projected deficit of $862 million. And I am happy to take any questions on this slide before moving on.
I'll just stop you when you just roll along and I'll
guide you. All right. As previously requested, we have provided an updated 10-year shorter version of the 10-year plan or 10-year fiscal outlook, incorporating both the amendments that were proposed as well as the spring revenue forecast. And as you can see, this aligns on line 9 with the change in the deposit or excess revenue available in 2024 and 25 changes to match with the fiscal summary on the previous slide. So beginning with on slide 4, we're going to talk about the operating amendments that were provided in this round of amendments. And we'll start at the top with the Department of Administration. In the governor's initial December 14th budget, the administration proposed adding 4 non-perms for the Office of Public Advocacy's Public Guardian section to address the case backlog. There is an amendment that changes those positions in the 2025 budget to be permanent full-time positions and adding them into the base to continue to work through that backlog and to bring case count down for employees in that section. Within the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, we have an item that I'm going to talk about multiple times throughout the slide. I do have a summary at the very end that we can talk at more detail. But the state of Alaska received a notification from the U.S. Department of Energy that the state of Alaska, Alaska Energy Authority, was selected to receive a $206 million federal grant for the Grid Resilience and Innovation Partnership, or GRIP, grant program. This grant requires a $206.5 million match for those federal funds. And throughout the presentation, I am going to talk about the components that make up the match for the first year of the program. We have also provided in the backup materials in Attachment G an 8-year plan outlining the match needs across the 8 years and the what level of match would be required to meet that $206.5 million award. For the operating budget, there are two change records. One is in the Alaska Energy Authority that provides the capital improvement project receipts to pay for the operating costs and the 12 positions associated with implementing this grant. And in the Alaska ADA, Alaska Industrial Development and Export Thank you, Authority, there is a duplicate increase for interagency receipts where the positions are located. In the Department of Environmental Conservation, there is a technical correction removing a duplicated request. Within the Department of Family and Community Services, there is a $1.2 million increase associated with the passage of HB 172, which passed during the 2022 legislative session. This expanded capacity for psychiatric stabilization and treatment, and the fiscal note reflected an increase to provide funding to compensate providers for services where there were sources of payments not available when they were providing services to individuals. That fiscal note increase was inadvertently left out of the budget, and we are bringing it to the committee for consideration in the 2025 budget. In the Department of Fish and Game, there is a $1 million request to add back test fishery receipts. Last year, the legislature replaced test fishery receipts in the Westward region with unrestricted general funds as a one-time replacement. Those unrestricted general funds were backed out in adjusted base, leaving a shortfall. And this amendment restores the $1 million in test fishery receipts to continue the Bering Sea Crab Observer Project, as well as the Bristol Bay King Crab Program. In the Department of Military and Federal, Military and Veterans Affairs, we have a request to for $400,000 to transition the department from the Office of Information Technology to an internal oversight of those IT functions. The amendment before the committee provides for additional positions and licenses. This is also reflected as a supplemental item later in the presentation. The Department of Military and Veterans Affairs has complex federal requirements that they must meet for security needs, and in order to implement those needs, they need to have oversight of their IT functions within the department. In the Department of Natural Resources, there is a request for $200,000 of statutory designated program receipts for the Office of History and Archaeology. They will be working on behalf of the Alaska Heritage Research, Iditarod Historical Trail Alliance, on the Alaska Heritage Research Survey, gathering updated information on site locations, conditions, and descriptions. And because they are doing the work on behalf of them, we add a receipt authority to pay for the services that are being provided. Lastly, within the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, we have a salary adjustment for the Public Safety Employees Association, Police and Fire. These are both cost of living increases and health insurance increases due to a ratified contract This portion of the contract is specific to airport employees. There is also a two language amendments that were submitted, amending the salary and benefits language in the back of the bill for the legislature to ratify those contracts. And that concludes this slide.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director, just on that DMVA move from Office of Information Technology, are you moving the departments, the technology officer, the DTO, out of OIT as well, or is that position remaining?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, I can't remember if it's already transferred. I can follow up with you. It may have already been transferred earlier, so let me follow up on that.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this slide? Okay, next slide, please.
The next slide provides a summary of capital amendments for FY 2025. The first item is in the Department of Administration. The Benefits and Retirement System, or BEARS system, requires enhancements following the conclusion of a court order that required additional functionality be programmed into the system. This remaining $9 million will come from retirement system funding sources to pay for the increased cost. And the anticipation is that this will complete that system's upgrades that are required. Within the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, or IIJA, and the Building a Better Grid Initiative provided for $2.3 billion of formula grant program to strengthen and modernize America's power grid against wildfires, extreme weather, and other natural disasters. The Alaska Energy Authority received a formula-based grant for this program, and the governor's budget included a projection of what that cost would be. The general fund match portion remains the same, but the federal receipt authority needs to be increased from $12 million to $17 million, so there is a replacement in the bill, in the amendments to replace the previously submitted capital project with a revised one. In addition, we have the first piece of three pieces for matching to the GRIP project that I mentioned earlier. So there are three pieces throughout the amendments that I'm going to talk about today. The match that we're looking for is a total of $12.7 million. So the first piece is using just under $3.5 million of the FY 2025 ADA dividend. So the dividend that was announced by the ADA Board of Directors totaled $11 million, and this would use a portion of that $11 million for the GRIP project match. Lastly, there is a $183,000 request for the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs. The match is for the joint use facility here in Juneau. The federal receipts were in the original governor's budget. There was a misunderstanding between the university and the department. There was anticipated that the university would have the funding sufficient to cover the match. They do. They have the funding to cover their portion of the match, and this is the remaining portion that is needed to meet the project. So it's $183,000, $183,500 to match $183.5 in federal receipts, and the university has sufficient match and federal receipts to cover the remainder of the project. And that is it. Okay. Moving on to slide number 6, we have additional operating supplemental requests that have been submitted. The first item is within the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. It shows as a zero because this is an amendment to a language section. In the 2024, the current year's budget, the A to dividend language included $10.9 million allocated to the state for the A to dividend, as well as a just under $7 million for the state to transfer funding for the Mustang Road. So the total dividend last year that the ADA board declared was $17 million, and it was broken into two parts. The amendments before the committee repeal the second portion that was specific to the transfer of the Mustang Road to DNR, and revises the language to state a total of $17 million is available from the ADA dividend to the state in 2024. I'll talk about an amendment later that uses that amount that's just at around $7 million for a portion of the GRIP match. So that is on the next slide. In the Department of Corrections, the $250,000 is to address the Alaska 2-scale revised risk assessment tool. Alaska statute requires that the state has a valid requires that the state validates this tool. It was last validated in calendar year 2019, and that validation expired in calendar year 2022. This tool is used as a pretrial risk assessment for analysis of the offender population and will require a contract to revalidate that system. In the Department of Family and Community Services, there is a reduction shown on this slide for just at $1.4 million. This is a reappropriation from an operating item to a capital item using the projected lapse for the Alaska Pioneer Homes. This is the unspent portion of the payment assistant grant funds. There is a formula that is used to calculate the payment assistance grant funds, and at the end of the year it is determined that there is an excess balance, and we're proposing to utilize that funding to address deferred maintenance needs at the Alaska Pioneer Homes. This will also be reflected on the next slide as a positive. It is a net zero, but we show a negative in the operating and a positive in the capital. In the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, we have an increase of approximately $130,000 for AvTech, the Alaska Vocational Technical Education. They have experienced reduced enrollment, and this is due to the pandemic. They have not been able to bring their enrollment back up to pre-pandemic levels. Their costs, the cost of operating the AvTech generally can, they generally need approximately 85% in enrollment to meet their expected cost for the year. They're currently at about 75%, and they are having a shortfall due to that low enrollment, requiring general funds to continue operations and provide the services to the current students that are enrolled currently. They are working on additional ways to increase their enrollment through marketing and media. The item for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs is identical to the item that was noted in the previous slide. This is the transition from the Office of Information Technology that is starting this year. In the Department of Natural Resources, there is reflected a $9 million reduction. The Office of Management and Budget has been working with the Department of Natural Resources on revised fire suppression projections and taking a deeper dive in the projections that we provide as required by intent language in the bill to legislative finance divisions. Through this process, DNR identified that there were duplicate expenditures that were being counted for, and so we are proposing a $19 million amendment to bring that in line with what is anticipated to be needed for the current year. The committee has backup provided in a copy of the letter and the calculations that were provided to Legislative Finance Division in Attachment E of the materials. The Department of Public Safety has a small change for $40,600. The department had requested a class study for the Criminal Records and Identification Bureau Chief. This was a single position job class study that was completed by the Division of Personnel and Labor Relations. And the conclusion of that is that the workload could not be performed by a single position and that a second position would be required in order to meet the state and federal law. And so the department identified a vacant criminal justice technician position, and they are reclassing this position. And in order to do that, they need a little bit more funding to cover the entire cost of the position. Within special appropriations, we have two additional judgments and claims that were received from the Department of Law. These judgments and claims are received by the Office of Management and Budget throughout the year, and as we receive them, we'll make sure that we get them to the committee as soon as possible. Lastly, on this slide, we have a line for fund transfers. The Department of Administration's Division of Finance, the Office of Management and Budget, and the Department of Environmental Conservation has spent the last several months going through an extensive audit and review of both the Ocean Ranger program, the birth fees for Ocean Rangers fund account, and the Commercial Passenger Vessel Environmental Compliance Fund. The Commercial Passenger and Vessel Environmental Compliance Fund has two sub-accounts underneath it. One is for Ocean Rangers and one is for the environmental compliance fees that are collected. Those funds have been, because they are two accounts within a fund, they have been utilized over the last years together. And as we broke the two funds apart, it was identified that the Commercial Passenger Vessel Environmental Compliance Fund was in the negative. So the budget amendments before the committee today, there are a few items. One is that there is a request of $5 million to transfer funding from the Ocean Ranger fund or account to this CPVEC fund to help bring that whole. There is another item on the next slide, which is a fund source change for a prior year capital project, correcting the funding source from the CPVEC fund to the Ocean Ranger fund. These funds have special or designated uses for them and what they can be used for, and so we want to make sure that we're tracking, and we are working closely with the department to ensure moving forward that we have sustainable fund balances in both of these funds. And that is it for this slide.
Question from Senator Bishop.
Yes. Ms. Lacey, could you go back to labor and workforce development? Because I was so focused on that 130 number at AvTech. It's that was an issue when I was there. So what's the balance, the other out of the 629 when you subtract the 130? Would you say we would, where was that at? So 629 minus 130, so where's the rest of the money?
I'm sorry, through the chair, Senator Bishop, I may have misspoke and apologize if I did. The total need is $629,500 for them to get through the year. I should not have spoken to a reduction, and if I did, I apologize.
No, you didn't. If I could follow up.
Yes.
You basically what you said, they need 85% enrollment to balance, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But you threw out a number of 130 in your first comments of 130,000. Mm-hmm. And we can take it up offline. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you.
You can get back to them on that.
Absolutely.
Any other questions on the slide? Okay. Next slide, please.
Great. right. So lastly, slide 7, we have the capital budget supplemental request. Starting with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. As I mentioned earlier in the presentation, there are three pieces for the AEA GRIP match that will total $12.7 million. So for fiscal year 2024, as I mentioned, the ADA dividend totals $17 million. And we'll use the just under $7 million, so $6,952,000, towards the match of the $206 million in federal receipt authority for that match portion. In addition, within the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, there is a reappropriation of $2.3 million from a 2012 AEA project that was to upgrade and extend the Anchorage to Fairbanks Power Transmission Intertie to Teelin Substation Project. This project was identified as being complete, and the remaining $2.3 million can be used towards the match. In addition, there is a project for AEA's Dixon Diversion Project. This is also being proposed as a reappropriation of $1.4 million from a 2008 AEA British Columbia Intertie to continue field work in the upcoming season on the Dixon Diversion Project. Lastly, as I noted in the previous slide, there is a fund source change for the AEA Port Electrification Project that was appropriated last year in fiscal year 2024. This is a fund source change from CPVEC funds to Ocean Ranger funds. In the Department of Corrections, there is a $3 million request for the Department of, for the Lemon Creek Correctional Facility. There was a previous appropriation that provided funding to address the floor at the facility. Increased cost, as well as once they've opened up the project, they've identified significant damage that wasn't in the original assessment. They need $3 million to complete this project. It includes costs associated with detention doors and hardware, damage to the floors that had in-floor heating, to address hazardous materials, including lead paint, and there is lead in the water lines, as well as asbestos that needs to be addressed. In the Department of Family and Community Services, as I mentioned earlier, there's a reappropriation from operating to capital for the Pioneer Homes to address the deferred maintenance needs. And on the last slide, on slide 8, I thought it may be helpful to lay out the pieces associated with the GRIP, because it was broken up throughout the presentation today. So on the right-hand side of the slide, we have the image that was provided in your materials as attachment G. This is the 8-year spending plan for the match requirement associated with the $206 million federal award. The amendments before the committee include the blue box, which is a $12.7 million GRIP match coming from the 2024 ADA dividend, the reappropriation of a 2012 AEA project, as well as the FY 2025 ADA dividend. And I am happy to answer any questions, as well as we have experts in the room that can assist as well.
Do we have any questions on this? Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for being here, Ms. Sanders. The $12,700,000 for the GRIP match, is there any concern that if we only allocate that amount, that the federal government will see that Alaska is not dedicated to this project and may not choose us for the next rounds?
Through the chair, Senator Merrick, AEA's executive director, Curtis Thayer, who's also in the room to assist, has confirmed with the federal government that we do not need the entire $206 million of match in the first year, that it can be spread over multiple years. One thing I failed to mention on this slide is we also have $20 million reflected on the far right of the blue box, where it says no appropriation needed. This is $20 million of bond authority that AEA has been approved to use towards the match of this project as well. So it will be the combination of the $12.7 million and the $20 million to match for the first year.
Thank you. And just one follow-up.
Yes.
There had been discussion about using a GO bond to pay for the 206.5, but it was my understanding the administration said that there were some issues with being able to use a GO bond in this case. Can you explain that, please?
Through the chair, Senator Merrick, we're still having conversations with both the Department of Revenue and the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, as well as with AEA and ADA. To determine if a bond package can be utilized. And we anticipate those conversations to continue. This is not a simple item and is a substantial dollar value. And so we want to make sure we're putting forward the correct package and with the correct information before we just put something out there.
Thank you very much.
Senator Olson.
At ease, Mr. Chairman.
At ease. Record. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Lacey, or Ms. Sanders, I guess one of the questions I have is that as you look at the GRIP number up there, which is to go ahead and help with the intertie to make essentially cheap electricity up and down the rail line, I guess, which is fine, and we're all for cheaper energy. But are any concerns being voiced toward the idea that as was pointed out by the senator that's not here today, that in other parts of Alaska, the price of diesel is not going down and the price of electricity is obviously not going down either. Is there any consideration that there might be something to look at trying to address that concern out in rural Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, yes, there are conversations occurring. Recognizing that the cost of heat and fuel in rural Alaska continues to escalate. I'm not prepared today to talk to any of those, but those conversations are occurring.
Oh, so you can't give us any details as to what kind of conversations have been taking place and what they're trying to specifically address?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I don't think I'm the appropriate person to answer those questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No further questions.
There is starting to be conversations about a multi-year balanced energy approach across the state, but it needs to be flushed out and stuff. So it is a concern, two concerns. One is fairness, but the other one is not bypassing this $200 million grant on the rail belt upgrade that needs to take place. So I think there's more work to be done on that. We'll work through that process. Probably for the next couple of years, but I think there's also more grants possibly coming, so we want to secure as much of that as possible and see it as fair across the state as reasonably possible also.
And that was my question, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for answering.
Could we, Ms. Sanders, can we get a little bit more explanation on judgment and claims, what they were? I know it's not the funnest thing to talk about, but it is the public purse.
Yes, Chair Stedman. I have a brief description on the two items, and my staff are sending the committee staff the backup documents that will be made available to the committee. today. The first item is $400,000. It's titled, I'm going to mispronounce this, but Lanico Investment LLC et al. Versus the State Department of Natural Resources. The second item is $27,520. It's ConocoPhillips Alaska Inc. versus the State of Alaska Department of Natural Resources.
Do you have any brief synopsis on what they are? Are you going to follow up?
First Edmund, I do not. Okay. Happily follow up.
Yeah, if you could follow up. We do try to lay that stuff out on the budgets for historical record purposes. And we do pay our claims, so we do pay the bills. But we just want everybody to understand what they are. Ms. Sanders, did you want to walk through any of these spreadsheets, or what was the...
Chair Stedman, the spreadsheets that were provided to the committee are the just summarizing what I've talked about today. I've touched on each of the items in those spreadsheets, so I don't think we need to walk through them line by line unless there are any particular questions the committee has on them.
Okay, does the committee members have any detailed questions on those today? And we'll come back. The capital budget chairman is not here. So the capital budget discussions will probably start next week when he arrives in more detail for those watching. Where, so in summary, Ms. Sanders, your bite at the apple is roughly how much of the marginal increase in revenue we got this year?
Chair Stedman, I want to acknowledge that there is a $19 million reduction for the Department of Natural Resources duplication of expenses. So putting that forward, we are putting forward a significant decrease, but that is semi-offset by about the same amount of increases that we have. So it's about a neutral on unrestricted general funds.
Okay. Any, Senator Bishop?
I'd just like to just put on the record that $19 million decrement out of fire came out of a conversation with our DNR subcommittee.
Yep. And it's, for those watching at home, we were anticipating initially to be hit with about a $94 million bill. So this $20 million reduction, or $19 million, is significant and washes out pretty much the amendments coming in today. So that's good news. I think later on, we'll have, for those watching at home, we'll have Legislative Finance come in and do an update for us so we can start in more detailed planning on putting our budgets, both operating and capital, together. Do we have any other questions? Any final comments by the OMB director? I'd like to thank the OMB for putting the documents together, and we'll probably be getting back to you with a little more detailed questions on some of the amendments and work with you dealing with some language issues and other things. And also, we would appreciate, as we've had discussions, any further amendments or adjustments that the OMB would like to communicate with the committee is done early. So, and you know the date, I can't call off the top of my hand on the calendar what it is, but when we put the budgets together, won't have last minute amendments coming in from the administration, and will make it easier for us to tie the ends together and get out of here on time or a day early as planned in May. So we appreciate also that, with OMB working with us on that, and Department of Revenue on their forecast update that was presented today, allowing the other body to have time to adjust their operating budget as they see fit before they hand it to us. So all three entities, the House, the other bodies, Finance Committee, the Administration, the OMB, and Senate Finance Committee, are working collectively So it's things are running smooth for those that are watching at home. So with that, well, that'll conclude this morning's meeting. This afternoon, 1:30, committee will take up House Bill 148, Alaska Performance Scholarship Eligibility. We are adjourned at 10:24 a.m. We are adjourned.